Live with JT. Thanks so much.
Hey, absolutely,
random,
man.
You're in Vegas and you have such interesting ideas, and I'm trying to cover completely different random subjects so I don't get bored. And I think we're going to start with something unusual. I was going to ask you about aliens, all the alien talk.
Yeah. So the alien stuff is, I think it's most interesting like right now because, you know, of course we have like this summer drops. We have all the Epstein stuff, obviously coming up in the, you know, the full release or whatever, the quote unquote, the full release of the Epstein files came out, you know, a couple months ago.
Which is only half of them still.
Well, yeah, which is nowhere near. I mean, actually, the interesting part is I want to say that if you just talk in pages, I think they say like the Epstein files is probably about 6 million-ish pages, 7 million pages. But as far as data goes, they're saying it's they've released like 2%.
I saw that too. That's crazy. And even the stuff they released is so damning. Imagine what they haven't.
Well, the funny thing is, so working in any kind of digital media, like when they were describing how much data it was, so I want to say that, so 2% is of 2% of 14.6 terabytes of information. So if you think about like a podcast we might record today, it might be, I don't know, 8 gigabytes, 10 gigabytes. You're talking about this Epstein file represents like 14,000 gigabytes, almost 15,000 gigabytes. So the thing like that you kind of get right away, or you should get, is what we're talking about is lots of videos.
Yeah,
because you're thinking about
not releasing those.
Because if it was just pictures and documents, emails, there was no way there's no way you could take up that money.
They say they released like half of the like the papers, but right, not the videos.
So the thing is, you got to think there's what a lot of people believe is, of course, there's cameras all over.
Well, he did have cameras all over, and it goes, there's a, between him and Edmund Barak, whatever, he was the ex-prime minister of Israel, about where they could do it remotely to turn the system on and off. And they were installing all these little cameras all over. This was the New York place, but I would assume probably all of them. Again, not to make assumptions, but I would assume searched the Zorro Ranch.
Right. The Zorro Ranch is
that's where the darkest stuff happened.
Very suspicious. Very suspicious. But all that being said, it was interesting when all this stuff was really kind of just going around the internet and X, and everybody's talking about it. All of a sudden, Barack Obama comes out on this podcast that like no one's ever heard of. And it's like, it just like, it was built just to be a soundbite.
Yeah.
Like he's saying that the guy asks, what do you think about aliens? And he's like, I believe they're real. And then he says he hasn't seen them. And then he tries to say, oh, it's not like what people think. They're not necessarily kept under Area 51, some secret underground military base. And then, of course, then he follows up by saying, so what was the thing that you wanted to know when you became president? He's like, are there aliens? And then so the guy drops, like, you know, so like, it's kind of like if you had Obama on the podcast and you get him to say something like that.
I'm going to want follow-ups, obviously.
You used to be like, the natural follow-up would be like, so why do you think that they're real? Like, what makes you believe that they are?
Did he not like?
No.
He just dropped it after
that. Like I said, it seemed like it was put out there.
It's either a terrible interviewer or it's BS. Probably BS, because why is Obama going on this podcast?
Absolutely.
What is interesting that now they're pushing, they're telling us, oh, they're aliens, it's real. That makes me less likely to believe it.
Well, right. So that's what I'm saying, the timing of it. And then I want to say it was either the next day or 2 days later, Trump's getting asked about it on Air Force One, saying, oh, did you hear what Obama said about the aliens? And he's like, well, you know, he's in really big trouble. You know, that was classified. He was saying,
interesting.
You're like, what part of what he said was classified? That's the confusing part. Because like, he's just saying he believes they're real, but he hasn't seen them, and they're not in Area 51. So is the classified part that they actually are in Area 51? Like, well, I don't.
Yeah, right. That's
the whole point. Was it just seemed like this was put in here potentially for a distraction against the Epstein stuff, and then you have obviously then shortly after this we're at war with Iran, and the hilarious thing was, we played on my podcast recently this clip. There was a show back in the day called The Whitest Kids You Know, and it had the guy who used to, like, the main guy, the actor of the show or the comedian, Trevor Moore. Mm-hmm. He's one of the guys who's died mysteriously. There was a skit they did a while back where he's playing the president, and he has like the press corps asking him questions, mm-hmm. and he's talking about their secret moon base and how it was taken over by bears with motorcycles and guns, and he was saying that they might be in some universal drug cartel with the alliance of wizards, and so the press corps is like getting like, this is crazy, and then the one reporter eventually asked him, do we just invade Iran? And then he pauses and he's like, you got me. And you're like, that's real. That, like, that's
so,
real.
Yeah, that's right now. That's so relevant.
That's
like,
literally what we're talking
about. You said he died mysterious.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So he revealed a lot of stuff. But I mean, to me, I think more people are quick to point it out now. I want to say Sean Ryan, he had this explicit tirade talking about, like, you're going to talk about aliens right now. Are you serious? Like, that's what you want us to talk about?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. Like, yeah, sure, aliens have always been interesting, but you start realizing it's kind of a psyop, and maybe aliens are actually something else. I kind of came to the conclusion that aliens, I don't know, in your opinion, I feel like they might be, like, interdimensional or demons.
Now, I think that a lot of the phenomenon could be explained by supernatural things. Like, again, you have, like, that, you know, angels can manifest physically and are spirits. Mm-hmm. Demons, obviously, they could make people believe that they saw aliens, or maybe they potentially were abducted. But I think it's really interesting if you go all the way back to kind of where we get a lot of this come from, is that, you know, aliens is like a relatively, like, new idea. That probably would have been established, and, like, you know, like with the War of the Worlds when that book came out, and then eventually it goes to that radio program where supposedly Orson Welles and then fake everybody freaks out because they think that there's actual an alien invasion. But there was a really interesting book from the 90s by this author Bill Cooper, and he called it "Behold a Pale Horse." Mm-hmm. And so basically the gist of this book is revealing all the stuff that they have, like, through classified information about the alien phenomenon being real. When you get to the end of the book, you know, it's kind of twist at the end, is he realized it's all BS. It's like, it's an effort for the government that is eventually going to fake an alien invasion in order to, you know, consolidate more power.
Don't they even have a name for that? Like Project Bluebeam?
Well, Project Bluebeam, people associate that with this, and it's possible. I mean, the Project Bluebeam is the idea that potentially they might have some kind of holographic image of something. So, like,
technology's getting better now where they could do that.
We're through, you know, it's actually interesting. There was a Spider-Man movie. I think it was Far From Home. And so the villain in that Spider-Man movie was named Mysterio. Mm-hmm. And in the movie, he wants to replace Iron Man as, like, the hero. Mm-hmm. And so he's fighting against, like, a fake threat in order to be the hero. So how he does it in the movie is that he's got a bunch of drones going together with, like, making holograms. So it's like they can actually do physical things, but, like, whatever the image of the thing he's fighting is not real. Yeah. So that idea is actually, believe it or not, the CIA actually floated an idea. I want to say it was, forgive me, but I think it was Project Mongoose, and it had something to do with them trying to depose Castro in Cuba.
I've heard of the Mongoose, but I don't need to. There's so many of them, it's hard to keep track. But right. I've heard that term, and that could be that, yeah.
Yeah, but what they were going to do was they talked about the potential to fake the second coming of Christ. And they were, like, literally going to, like, you know, project Jesus coming down. They were going to use, like, they were star shell flares. They were going to use, like, a loudspeaker, and they were going to get Jesus to tell the Cuban people to revolt against Castro and overthrow their government. That's an actual thing that the CIA was trying to do.
No, people say the government does stuff. No, they don't believe it. You can look at the insane stuff they've done in the past. This is the stuff that we know they've done.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's a lot of stuff they've got away with. Well, you know, like the MK Ultra is a good example, which the mind control, where they would torture people, drug people without them knowing it. Lots of people think that might have been connected to, like, Manson. And there's some reasons why I think it's not random. Like, the guys that were involved with that were, like, in the Haight-Ashbury in that time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, So there's that. The government's done so many bad things. They talked out. I mean, I think in the Vietnam War, they bombed one of our ships to get in there. They talked about it for back to Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about bombing an American, I think maybe plane or something. And JFK wouldn't sign off on it. So the CIA was mad at him along with Mossad. And then he got offed.
Yeah, I want to say, gosh, what was it? There was, yeah, I'm trying to think of all the different operations. I think it was Operation Northwoods, where they, yeah, where they were going to attack. Yeah, I want to say it was either a ship, yeah, or a base.
I don't know the details of, they were to attack something American and blame it, yeah, on
Cuba. They were going to blame it on them to justify, you know, it's a false flag attack. Yeah. So if you think about like Operation Northwoods and then you compare it to like, I don't know, like September 11th.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, is that potentially like...
To me, I think that was a false flag.
Well, the thing is, that, like what you're saying though is that when people talk about quote unquote conspiracies, yeah, like this is like a,
we know,
like
if, done
this is like, if you, through Freedom of Information Acts, you can actually, yeah, read these documents. That's what I'm saying. It, as crazy as it all sounds, it's like they, yeah, wrote it down.
No,
it's, like, it literally, it's like comes from the government.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a good example is we caught Israel that did false flag attacks in Egypt, attacking American and Britain because they were trying to get America to go to war with Egypt. This is that one's called a Levant Affair. That's,
yeah, yeah,
look that up. This, yeah, is like known. So there's lots of these false flags. So lots of them probably get through.
Well, I mean, I remember, was it Jesse Ventura famously went on Piers Morgan and he was saying like that every war has been started based on some kind of a false flag, yeah, attack. I think the interesting part about
Iran, we didn't even sell it.
I thought that was, I was actually going to say that. I said, yeah, I think it's really interesting that they didn't even bother.
That's crazy to me. Like before, we've always, like the Iraq war, I remember they sold it for a year. It still wasn't popular, but they got it 55%. This one, they didn't even sell. I think when he bombed it, it was like 25% of people supported, yeah, it. You know, some of these dumbasses rallied around him. Just what he does, it jumped like 30%. But it's like, that's the lowest a war has ever, we started a,
yeah,
war, the lowest, you know, support. And we did anyways. They didn't even sell it.
Thanks for watching Fight Back Podcast. If you like the show, like, subscribe, or share the video. There's also donation links in the descriptions. Why buy or sell a gun from a company that hates you and your values when you can support free speech and the podcast by going to armslist.com to buy, sell, trade all firearms and accessories. So to get the discount, go to armslist.com and put in promo code FIGHTBACK and it'll be only $1 the first month.
No, they didn't even care. But no, it's interesting though, Dia, to go back to the alien stuff, but I think it's interesting. So the idea of them potentially faking something. So it's kind of like you can do two things at once. Obviously, they can use this idea to distract people, mm-hmm, but then it is like it's something that they want to keep in the public sphere, just like so people keep paying attention, yeah, to it. So like, okay, so Trump's potentially going to talk about UAP and UFOs. But what's interesting is that so you have this book talking about the potential PSYOP of eventually an alien invasion. Well, Wernher von Braun, who was like the one of the Nazi scientists that was responsible for the V2 rockets, and he came over during Operation Paperclip. Now, if you believe in the moon landing, he's one of the main guys, yeah, who got us there. And his assistant said in the 70s that he was explaining to her all the big psyops that the military industrial complex was going to use. The first one he was talking about was the Cold War between Russia. The second was going to be terrorism from the third world. Mm-hmm. Third was going to be like basically some kind of cosmic threat, like asteroids or comets or things like that.
Climate change could be.
Yeah, potentially. And then, but the last card that they were to play was the alien card. Yeah. And so it's all based on the idea that, you know, in military industrial complex, they're going to justify, like, I don't know, like a space force. Like, you know, so we have a, yeah, space force.
Right.
We have all
the space force for a while. It's like,
well, I mean, everybody even forgets that that's like basically a new branch of the military. And like, what, yeah, like, what do they even,
yeah,
do?
Yeah, what do they do? It's just more money laundering, probably.
I think a lot of it is just that. It's just as, yeah, simple as that, is the fact that when they now have different UAP departments in the government,
they have more money to throw around.
It's just, I mean, I think mostly it's all a scam. Some of the stuff coming out from this guy named Lou Elizondo is the main face of like the UAP stuff on the news. And this guy was involved for counterintelligence at the Pentagon. Mm. His job is literally trying to protect our own secrets, but he's the one who's revealing all the stuff.
Job.
So it's likely the stuff that he's saying
is propaganda. Yeah, you can't really trust the government. And there is interesting stuff out there. Wait, real quick, I want to go. Since you mentioned moon landing, or do you think we did or no?
No, absolutely.
Yeah, see, I used to think we did. Now I don't have a strong opinion, but I lean towards we didn't. Because it's like when you actually start looking at the evidence,
yeah,
it's like even I had a what was it? Owen Benjamin and what was it? Richard Spencer, who's anti-conspiracy theory. He thought they were talking to each other. I'm like, you know what? Why don't I throw these guys together and see what happens? They got along great because he started grilling about the conspiracies, but Owen just kept making so much sense that Spencer was just like, "Fuck, man, I don't know. You got like, you're making some good points."
Yeah, the moon landing stuff is just. It's ridiculous. I mean, it's honestly ridiculous.
We can't go now, they say. we could go in this 1969. Look how much better technology is at everything. Now we can't. What's a few of the things? They say they taped over the tapes. Like, come on.
Well, they supposedly destroyed the tapes. They destroyed the telemetry data.
We wouldn't do that.
The technology altogether. I mean, I don't even really know what it means when they say we destroyed the technology.
We wouldn't destroy technology. And if we did, we could rebuild it.
Well, the thing is... So what people, some say that the reason it's difficult to get there, I mean, besides obviously the very obvious, it's far away, or whatever, but they talk about something called the Van Allen belt. So it's this belt of radiation that it basically would ruin anything that goes through it. And it would obviously affect
the
astronauts. And somehow they were able to solve this problem in the 60s and in the early 70s. But yet, like, that's not... recorded anywhere. How did they do it then?
Yeah, they don't even explain it, huh?
No, so that's like it's like a major issue now. And I kind of wonder, like, the way that when people say, oh, like, how could a conspiracy like that actually work? Because so many people would have to be in on it. I don't think it's very compartmentalized.
Exactly. You compartmentalize things.
Right. So there might be actual really like well-meaning scientists saying, oh, well, there's this thing, this phenomenon, this Van Allen belt, and we can't get past it. And then, but they don't bother to say, well, how did we do it?
Yeah, what do they say how we do it? They don't even mention that, huh?
No, they ignore it. And the thing is, when you think about just even the idea of all that radiation, like, you have all this, like, all the filmmaking equipment and stuff like that that's going through all this. Wouldn't this kind of ruin?
Destroy it,
when they ruin everything?
Well, also, look how bad the technology was. There was no, like, lag on the... They had a live screening. Wasn't there wind on the flag, but there's no wind on the moon? It was like,
well, you can clearly see the flag flipping and flapping. There's no wind on the moon. There's, like, it's in the breeze. The other thing is, of course, when they get to the moon, you can never see any stars.
Yeah.
You know, it's completely pitch black. Now, what they try to say is that... it's because it's like during the daytime when they're there. But of course, you see what we see is the Earth all lit up super bright and probably not proportionally the right size. Because you really think about if you're on the moon, how big would the Earth actually look from that vantage point? When they made the Earth only basically appears maybe slightly bigger than the moon appears to us.
Yeah, a good amount bigger than the moon, I would think.
You would think it would take up almost
Earth's
the whole
a lot
sky.
Bigger than the moon.
Right.
Yeah, that's
right. There's a number of things that just it makes no sense. And but
if people want to like mock you, but then you actually look into it, it doesn't. You know, we can't go there now. They destroyed there's like a dozen holes. I mean, that's just like part of moon names. There's just so many things that don't add up.
Well, the truth is that you have to almost kind of put it back on the people. And this is what I like to do. Kind of like when we discuss a lot of conspiracies, like. Well, it's like, why do you actually believe in the first place? I mean, so the way that reason I would have believed it for a while is that, for one, they told me we did in school. For two, they got video of it, right? We got video of the spaceship. We got video from the moon. But then when you start to examine some of the video and you're like, this looks really ridiculous, honestly. This stuff looks dumb. And the stuff where Richard Nixon is talking to them from his Oval Office, he's literally got a picture of the moon in the background or the picture of the moon with Earth in the distance as he's talking to the people on the moon. And I guess when I thought about it, I'm like, wait a minute, there's a landline talking to the moon. I thought this is really stupid.
Especially in 1969.
But I mean, the truth is, like, the whole thing, like, with almost everything that involves space, like, why if all this stuff is real, why do we see composite pictures of Earth Like, it's not real. Like, they're all basically stitched together. And they talk about how they have to Photoshop in all the clouds. And
yeah, that's strange.
They can't take a real picture. When you see satellites in space, they are all fake. They're all they're all CGI. So the real question would be, well, if this is all real, why do you need to fake anything? Mm-hmm. Like, why do you need to use a fisheye lens when you get up, like, to quote the ISS? Like, why are you using that kind of lens to make everything look curved? Mm-hmm. You know, like, there's the questions that just come up, like why do you believe what you believe? And no, then when you examine the evidence, you're like, I don't know that that's actually worthy of accepting the narrative on.
I was never a conspiracy theorist until I start digging, looking at things, or you talk to conspiracy theorists, instead of just ignoring them, be like, okay, let's look at their points. And you're, a lot of times, of course there's some that don't make sense, but a lot of times they do. And one, two, look at the thing that flew up there, the ship that flew to the moon. That thing is like this clinky, like, come on, that would have fallen apart.
The module that came down, it looks like it was made of tinfoil.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is, supposedly, like, they've got part of the rocket that they're going to fly back, and it's going to lift off and eventually come together, and then they're going to fly back to Earth. But the funny thing is, like, so I want to say it was one of the last times they supposedly went. That's where you get that video of, like, them. It's showing, like, the lunar module, and then eventually it pans up and watches it go off into the distance. And NASA says that somebody did that with a remote control from Houston.
Like, on the moon?
They were controlling it with some kind of apparatus from Houston to get the shot of them leaving. And it's like there's all kinds of sparkles and stuff, and it's like preposterous. I think most times, like as you said, the only reason we really believed is because we never really looked into it. Exactly. We've never questioned it. Of course, we question everything now.
Yeah, trust the experts.
Yeah.
You know, until COVID came along, and you're like, oh, this is bullshit. And I haven't even looked into, like, flat Earth, because if that's a lie, everything's a lie. So I don't even want to go down that rabbit hole.
Well, that's the thing. You look into everything, and it is. It's a lie. I mean, it was funny. I just had Owen Benjamin on. Owen Benjamin's, like, I think he's got, like, a 5 or 6 minute video where he's showing, like, the progression he got to become, like, a flat earther. Yeah. And he's going through, like, all the stages of grief. And it's actually pretty funny. But, I mean, it's...
Last time I was hanging with Eddie Bravo, what did he say? He goes, yeah, man, I'm crazy because I don't believe that we're spinning around going, like, 100 million miles, whatever it is, miles and 100 million miles an hour through space spinning on a ball. I'm just like, well, I'm the crazy one. You're like, okay, that's an interesting perspective.
Well, like I said, you know, I believe in biblical cosmology. I believe what the Bible says about it. I do believe in affirmment. I think what is interesting about, like, the heliocentric model, I think most people don't even really know what it is. I think that's most reason why they accept it. And I think what Eddie Bravo is talking about is that if you actually see a model or like an illustration of what the science says we're doing, it is unbelievable. I mean, like, literally, it's unbelievable because we're talking about, like,
so ridiculous the way he said it. I'm like, okay, maybe you have a good point that maybe you're not an idiot.
It's like the idea that everything is hurtling through space. So like our galaxy is going through space. You have us going around the sun. So the Earth is spinning at 1,000 miles an hour.
Flying,
we don't perceive it, but then it's going, I want to say, around the sun at probably 60 something thousand miles an hour, maybe 66,000 miles an hour. And then the whole galaxy is going, I think, like 1 million miles an hour. You see the corkscrewing, and like I said, I don't think most people know that that's what they say. They just know the Earth supposedly spins around the sun. Now, the thing that really kind of tripped me out when I was starting to look into some of that stuff is, like, the concept of the zodiac. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how does the zodiac work? Right? That these things basically show us what season we're in, and they work all the time, right? They work perfectly.
People used to use that to travel on sea and everything. So I don't know exactly how it works, but people had deep understanding of it where they could travel around to different countries.
Well, yeah, they could use the celestial objects to navigate the nautical navigation.
Very precise.
But the thing is, so when you think about the concept of, like, the zodiac or just the heavens, you have the North Star, right? And the North Star never moves.
Yeah.
North Star just stays, and everything spins around the North Star.
So what's the explanation for that? I never thought about that.
Supposedly we're angled, tilted, and it's really far away, so we don't notice it moving.
The angle we're at doesn't appear to move.
Right. So, but if you think all together, okay, so if we're all spinning and the galaxy's moving, right? If you think about the concept, well, then the other stars would be moving too.
Yeah.
Right.
But they don't.
And we're moving, they're moving, but if you go all the way back to ancient Egypt, there's what's called the Dendera zodiac. Mm-hmm. I want to say that people estimate it's about 4,000 years old. Okay, so with that concept in mind, their constellations on this ancient zodiac mm-hmm. are the same ones we have today. And so if you think about it, if we're all moving, how come the same constellations remain? They don't change.
Yeah, it should be switching.
Could you imagine if like you're driving in a car, mm-hmm. you're going down the highway and you have rows of trees close to you and then you have rows of trees that are further away. Mm-hmm. Well, based on their spatial alignment, they're going to appear to move based on how fast you're going. So like the ones that are obviously closer to you, they're going to be moving faster. And these ones are going to be moving but slower.
Yeah.
So the constellations have not changed, like even like moving closer or further away from each other.
Moving a little.
They should change.
Interesting.
So that to me was like just lines up with the Bible says about how that the earth is stable. Things rotate around. Things rotate around.
All the old math was done that way. Do you think our ancestors, like pretty much all different countries, put like insane amounts of like studying and stuff into the stars? Mm-hmm. We kind of ignore that now.
Well, just think about it. If what the Bible describes in Genesis 1:14, it says that God put the sun, the moon, and the lights, or the stars in the sky, for signs, number one. Mm-hmm. So if you think about signs, he's talking about basically like the what they call it in the Hebrew cosmology, call it the Maseroth. But that's basically just another name for the zodiac. So he says he put him in there for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. So what it's basically describing is the heaven is a clock.
So it helps keep track of time. And
so it should be able to tell you all those different ways to judge time. And then, of course, if you think about some of the megaliths around the world, they're set up.
They're all perfectly aligned.
They're like set up based
on
cosmos.
They put so much energy into that. That's why I wondered, and we don't pay that much attention to it, but they clearly mm-hmm. thought it was so important.
And they had
so much time and energy into that.
Yeah, they have markers that are set up for the solstices.
Mm-hmm.
Because the solstices everything makes
always
sense.
Have that, meant so much.
Well, they need to know when to plant. They need to know when to. It's about their harvest. So, you know, that our seasons are based on when you do certain things, like when mm-hmm. spring is, when summer is, when fall is. Like when winter, you have to know those things in order to feed yourself, you know?
Yeah.
So like it's something that God had set up. So yeah, they made these markers to be able to keep track of it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's like literally life or death. You're not doing that right. Well, especially once you go into farming versus hunting, gathering. And they say, like originally they say we weren't, you know, hunter and gatherers. I think they say we went civilization like 6,000 years ago. But if you look back in Turkey, they've now uncovered how do you pronounce it?
Like Göbekli Tepe?
Yeah, 12,000 years ago.
Yeah, but again, that's a man's best guess. I don't know if anybody could really determine like if it was 6,000 or 10,000 years old. I mean, I would say biblically, we're probably somewhere around 6,000, 7,000 years.
Think it's been only like 7,000 years, your view?
I guess the truth is like it's hard to say exactly how much, but I would say biblically, we really only have like the only way you could really kind of do the math would be like Adam to Jesus. Now, the interesting part from like, I know we talked about it before.
We lived a lot longer, yeah.
I could say that, I could tell you I believe what it says from Adam to Jesus, it was this many years. Now, the truth be told, I can't tell you how many years it's been from Jesus to now, though, because I'm a little fuzzy on the years in between and things like
that. Yeah. No, you start realizing you can't trust the experts, the historians.
No.
Like almost like the book 1984, how they rewrite things, redo it. It's
mm-hmm.
it's the unfortunate reality. Because I think there's definitely lost civilizations. Now, I don't have a strong opinion on how long they were, but seeing like having seen going seeing some of this like rock work in foreign countries,
mm-hmm.
like you know, perfect example was Peru. That stuff, you know, looked at it. That was not built by like the people that were there when the Spanish came.
Yes,
who built it? We don't know. It's amazing rock work and some of the Egyptian stuff and stuff mm-hmm. like Turkey. Turkey had all kinds of underground cities, like crazy castles,
oh, yeah.
mountains.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't really, we don't really read about Turkey history that much, but was, a lot of stuff we don't know about. I was there, like, they don't even know who made it.
No, for sure. You know what's interesting? So I started reading this book called American Antiquities and Discoveries in the West by Josiah Priest. So it's a reprint of a 1833 book, and it's talking from the sense of they're discovering things around kind of the Mississippi Valley. They're all the mounds and weird here, things
like that, in America.
Yeah, in America, and it's theorizing how they got there. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, from a 1833 perspective, it's like they don't have like established history books like we have now, where they're saying, "Okay, this is the facts, Jake. Like you believe this, or you're a crazy person like me." But back then, it was normal to speculate about it because nobody really knew.
Yeah.
Like, so they find all these mounds. And I said, I thought the really interesting thing was that this guy wasn't necessarily coming to the conclusion that popped in my head is lost civilizations like you're talking about, is that what he was saying, that there's hundreds of thousands of mounds in America, and lots of them have, you know, remains of humans in them, or maybe giant humans, but they have them all throughout like the Mississippi River, up and down the Mississippi River from like Ohio down, like tons around Missouri. And so what this guy Josiah Priest was saying, that based on the Native American populations that were described when the Europeans got there, it could not justify all those amounts of mounds and all the bodies that would have been in the mounds. And so this was just me, this might be a morbid thought, but I was like, why would you ever need to bury people in a mound? I mean, to me, it seems like, is this like a purge? You know what I mean? Like, because if you really think about it, you killed so many people, you didn't have time to dig holes and put them
in mounds.
You buried them after they were a big pile of
some mass purge. You know, we just don't really know the history well at all in America, because it could go far beyond what we think.
And
the problem is, I think, with science, history, experts, once someone says an idea, you're not supposed to question it. This guy says it, but then that was just some random guy before you that came up with the theory, if you don't realize. But once it's the theory that's in books, you're not supposed to question it.
Yeah, once it's put in a history book, now it's a fact. But I mean, I think
that was just some other guy that came up with it, if you don't realize. It was just like...
Well, that was one of the things that always bothered me the most, was that they present theories like they're facts. Because it's kind of like, it's like theory of gravity, the theory of evolution. Like, but they're taught like they're facts when no, they're anything but facts. They're theories, but they're presented to people. And if you don't tell them it's a theory, they're naturally going to think that they're facts. Now, what's interesting in that book, it was also describing that the people that were here when the Europeans got here, they were every complexion, basically under God's, you know, God's green earth.
So it wasn't just Native American.
Well, the point is, like, I guess Native American really doesn't describe anything other than they were here first. But it was saying that there were olive-colored people, tawny-colored people, copper-colored people. There was black people, like in Africa. It was saying there was white people here. And so it's a very different perspective. It's like what we would have thought. But it only makes sense is that the people who created pyramids around here and did lots of things, and again, I have theories about things being here longer.
More advanced cultures than we were thought.
These people who could do great things over in America, you know, over in Europe and Africa and Asia, they could get here on boats. They could have got here on boats.
I think there was an international society before.
Absolutely.
That's how it seems, because there's too many similarities where they all cared about the alignments. They all had the same, like the serpent. Just too many similarities for it not to be. You mentioned giants earlier. There was hundreds of newspaper articles claiming to have found giant bones all across America. And now that's just been disappeared. Conspiracy theorists, like hundreds, if not thousands of newspapers.
Yeah, well, there was, in some of those mounds, they discovered giant skeletons. And yeah, the Smithsonian, who's supposed to be responsible for, I guess, preserving history, is like directly like destroying it. I mean, there was a really famous story even not that many years ago where they dumped 50,000 tons, or maybe it's not 50,000 tons, 50 tons of mammoth bones into the Hudson River.
Why?
Indeed, why? Like a family from Alaska donated these bones, and they dumped them in the Hudson River. So there was actually a story, I think lots of people were trying to scuba dive and try to find them because they're worth a lot of money now.
Yeah, like, why would that doesn't make any sense?
Right. Well, exactly. Why would they do that? But if you go look up, there's some really good YouTubers. Actually, one of my friends named Derek Olson. You should probably get him on the show if you can. He's great. And he's documented tons of these old newspaper articles about them discovering 8 foot, 9 foot, seven foot skeletons.
I don't know if you still can, but before an AI was pulling up all these old articles for me. Yeah. They're finding the articles. Like something might go to this stuff because it was confirming. Yeah, there was like hundreds of them.
Yeah, there was giant.
Like 9 feet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could make the argument like, oh, maybe it was just selling newspapers. It seems like it was too many of them in all over different places. I think all kinds of different countries have always claimed giants. Even I remember reading a book of, I forget who it was one of the first Spanish explorers that were here. And mm-hmm. they were very detailed, all their longitude, latitude. They took their books very serious. And they were talking about going down the Amazon and just massive sightings.
Mm-hmm.
And they stumbled across these people that were like 8-9 feet at one place.
You know what's one that really fry your brain is the story about Maximus Thrax. You've ever heard of him?
No.
This is the kind of stuff that they should have taught us in history class. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know why as a kid that I was never told that there was a Roman emperor who was mm-hmm. 8'6".
What? That's giant.
He was named Maximus Thrax, and they said he wasn't just tall. Of course, he was massive.
Jack, too.
And if you're 8'6", is that not a giant?
That's a giant, yeah. Like,
yeah.
With giganticism, we're like, what, 7'5"? But that's like so rare. With someone over 7 feet, that's like freakish.
It's so rare for somebody to be over 7 feet. I'm not exactly sure what percentage of people of all time, supposedly based on the science, has been over 8 feet tall. But 8'6", yeah, we're talking about you're talking about a literal giant.
No, a literal giant. I know in fighting there's been like some 7 foot people fall, but that's just like freakish.
Mm-hmm.
Like 7 feet is just like a giant. So if you go to like 8 feet, that's like a literal giant.
Yeah. So. I just think it's interesting.
Interesting histories focus on the Holocaust and slavery.
Right. Well, I think it's the funny thing is to go back what we were talking about is that I said, if you really think how wicked it is to tell every black person that they're in America, they're a descendant of slaves.
Yeah.
And then people like me and you were the ones who put them into slavery.
Yeah. We owned them and whipped them and abused them.
But the truth is the very first slave owner in America was a black man. That's you can look this up. Like I said,
that like 5 years ago. Heard that. I'm like, that can't be true. Like literally, Google confirmed that.
Yeah, you can look that up.
That just doesn't match the history we're taught.
No,
I don't. You know, I don't. So neither of us don't claim to have all the answers, but we can still clearly see there's giant holes on what we're being taught. I think people need to work together to study this stuff and realize a lot of the shit's complete lies they've taught us. Like a black man was the first slave owner. Like how is that?
Well, it does. That does not push the division narrative.
The agenda of white people bad, black people abused. Yeah, that completely turns it upside down.
Right. So it's like that's
they just don't teach that.
But that's the point. Is like, but you're hamstringing people here who are black who didn't necessarily come from slaves, right? And you're putting that evil on them, and then you're also putting that evil. You're putting that evil on people like me
and you.
When my family never owned any slaves.
They don't own any slaves, but they want to feel this like hatred. Mm-hmm. Only a small percentage of white people own them. And yeah, slavery was evil. There's no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm.
But like to make people bitter at a race of people that some did it, but a lot didn't.
Right, absolutely. So
slavery, like all societies that owned slaves all throughout history, the first slave owner in America was black. That's just so insane.
And you see who owned the slave ships.
Mostly got these little hats.
Yeah, the little hats did that. But I mean, that's the point is like they want us to fight. You know, it makes perfect sense. Honestly, if you're a smaller group, you want the bigger groups to be divided and you want them to fight each other. And so we're constantly looking at each other when it's somebody else who's literally stirring the pot.
It's a brilliant evil of keeping each other's throat.
It absolutely is. But no, the whole stuff with history and all of it is that the more I tried to research things, I realized there was just large gaps in our history. I was on a friend's podcast saying John Pounder's an excellent podcaster.
I just had him. He's great.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. So he was talking about that what we really have in probably the last 2,000 years, quote unquote 2,000 years.
Yeah.
It's like you have shadows of history. It's very murky.
There's like missing like centuries almost.
Yeah. Which I think that. To me, that's telling just in itself is that, like, so why don't we know more? Mm-hmm. Like, why is things, like, how do, again, even like the idea of, it's very clear there's tons of evidence that they're a lost civilization.
Yeah.
But how did they ever get lost? You know, I think that just that question in itself, it's like, well, how didn't, if people have been tracking things, like how, why don't we know more?
Yeah, it seems like it's deliberate. Like there's been burning of libraries. Even when they came to America, they had, I think it was the Mayas, one of them, it wasn't a full on writing, but it was like this knot type. They went and destroyed all their writings.
Well, the truth is that there's a lot of things that they just don't tell us. What was another interesting thing I learned about America would be that a lot of Native Americans who are like of the Indian person, we consider like Indians, they worshiped a god called Yehovah, which sounds almost just like Jehovah or Jehovah.
Oh yeah, that sounds very
similar. Yeah, so it's like they worshiped this god as the creator.
And it was like one god, Jehovah.
Yeah, it was. Yehovah, they were monotheists. They believed in one god, and his name was Yehovah. And you're like, that is really, really close to what the Bible would be describing as the creator of everything. And so what I found interesting, and we might have even touched on it last time we were on the podcast, we talked about how that the Franciscan friars in Columbus, lots of them were connecting these people they met in the New World as coming from the Old World, potentially like the 10 lost tribes of Israel. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing that just really tripped me out about that idea was like, what would make them connect that? Of course, it could be something like that, that they worshiped a god called Yehovah. Now, the other thing was interesting. In this book, it was kind of theorizing that Noah has three sons, right? And this is where you kind of get like the difference in the races. So it was saying that Ham, his people go to Africa.
He's black.
Yeah, he was likely darker skinned. And then you have Japheth's line. Japheth goes to Europe and I guess Northern Asia. Guys, yeah. He's white. He's white. Okay. And Shem, it was theorizing that Shem was actually red. And biblically, it mentions how King David, he was handsome and he had a ruddy face. Well, ruddy means red.
Interesting. I'd never heard of red people.
Yeah. So I mean, of course, I don't know if this is actually true, but I thought it was pretty interesting that, like, why does it describe David as having a red face?
Yeah, I don't know.
Some people say he has red hair, but it actually doesn't say that. It's the translation says that he's a handsome, ruddy-faced when he was a youth. So he's got a red face. So is that why Columbus and these people thought they were connecting these people with Hebrews?
Yeah, I mean, some of the old Aztec, I mean, they supposedly it was like paintings and stuff, but they looked like red. And
yeah, it's just, I mean, I guess the thing is it's saying that, again, that not saying this is accurate. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that these are the kind of questions people were asking in the 1800s. Yeah. And it's like, so why don't we know more? Like, why?
Well, because the experts have it all figured out now.
Right, right.
That's exactly. Why they act like history is all figured out now.
Yeah.
I mean, like the idea that you can be thrown in jail for questioning in history, I mean, there's only one event for that because we don't know. Like, things, just like science, things are always, new things are being uncovered. We're discovering it.
Mm-hmm.
That history was literally, it was put together by people sitting there talking, coming up with ideas. And some of it could have maybe been people with bad intent. Like rewriting, like we look at who writes our textbooks. You probably know it's Blaine Maxwell's father. Robert Maxwell is the biggest textbook writer.
Yes.
So they're probably deliberately deceiving us. And then you're supposed to just take it as like at face value. Well, here's a good example. Here's a good way to look at it. Okay, the news today. We're fighting over what's true today. Look how much fake propaganda the news puts out. And we're supposed to just believe everything these history books. Like we're crazy for asking questions, being like, maybe this isn't true.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, of course, it's funny that I know Tucker Carlson had Mike Huckabee on. Mm-hmm. And of course, he's talking about Christian Zionism. And of course, that really takes my interest because it's like I study a lot of this stuff. And so he's asking a lot of great questions, but it's interesting to know where like the people who live in quote unquote Palestine or the land of Israel or land of Canaan, whatever you want to call it, like where they're actually from.
Yeah. Poland, Ukraine.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. So I think this is like important biblically, but it's more importantly because of geopolitics and the wars we're in, is that the way people are established if they're Jewish or not today, based on like modern Jewish interpretation of like the Talmud, is that you're Jewish based on having a Jewish mother.
Mother, yeah.
Right? Here's why this doesn't work. Or at least, this is why this is not defensible for a Christian to have that view, is because in the Bible, the genealogies are based on the patriarchs, like, so the man. So like so you're a son of like you're a son of Adam, you're a son of Seth, you're a son of Noah.
Well, I thought that was weird. It was through the mother when typically like exactly the Christians like you say who your father was. That's
right. You're
we used to have so much pride in your father's name too. The name meant so much. That was kind of you know the positive of that. I mean the bad is that if your father was shameful, you're not looked down upon. But there's also something prideful. About, mm-hmm. Oh shit, I got to hold up my family name.
Well, but that's. That's how we still basically do things is that, like, if we don't have sons to give our son's name, our name, then eventually our name could be gone.
Out, yeah.
Right? Now, obviously, our lineage would still live on if we have daughters.
You're still passing on your DNA.
But the point is, like, that God established an order. Mm-hmm. And God made certain promises to certain patriarchs. Like, so the main reason we have kind of the faith that we do is God made a promise to Abraham. And he was talking about one of his descendants would eventually bless all nations, and he's promising mm-hmm. his descendants this land. So then, based on the way the Bible goes, you have Abraham, then you have his son Isaac, then you have Jacob, then you get down to like King David. Mm-hmm. And so King David, if you look at, so that's why it's important if you actually read the genealogies. You know, this is what you can see a line from Adam, Abraham, David, Jesus. You can see
through the Father.
So all these promises were kept, mm-hmm. this line. And it's like, this is how a kingship was what he was established with David, was that one of his descendants, he would have a descendant that would be on the throne forever. Mm-hmm. That's why we say Christ is king, because praise God, that came true. Now, but what Judaism is telling us now is it's through the mother. And what's really crazy about that is the fact that, so you think about like a Ivanka Trump.
Yeah.
She converts to Judaism, right?
Yeah. But she's her not kids, genetically Jewish.
Yeah, her kids will be considered Jewish. Based on her conversion. Mm-hmm. Okay, so how crazy is that, though? So now we're seeing like a Mike Huckabee.
Yeah, she's not Jewish at all, genetically.
Right.
But it's kind of weird that Jared Kushner married a non-Jew. He's so extreme. I mean, so there's rumors of Trump being Jewish. His brother was in a Jewish fraternity. His father was friends with Netanyahu.
But that's the funny part about all just this conversation in general. It's like we're obviously not talking about a genetic thing.
Yeah.
Because if Trump's Jewish or is he not Jewish, the point is like
about it's confusing. I think intentionally, is it a religion? Is it a race? But then there's several races of it. It's like
That's the thing is if you watch that debate with not necessarily debate that conversation between Tucker and Mike Huckabee, it's very confusing because like it's very confusing based on. Like Mike Huckabee trying to justify with the Bible, but then we're like, is it a racial thing or is it a religion? Mm-hmm. Well, it's most certainly a religion, but I mean, then we have the people that are supposedly racially Jewish who are secular atheists. Yeah. They don't believe any of this stuff. And so, but it is absolutely insane to think that, so one day Jared Kushner and Ivanka's kids mm-hmm. could be considered entitled to the land of Israel.
Fully Jewish, even though.
Right?
Yeah. I know example. Okay, these are two perfect examples of how ridiculous it is. And at one person, they're quarter Jewish, but it's mom's side. Another one that's three quarters Jewish, but from the dad's side. So the one that's a quarter Jewish is considered Jewish. The person that's three quarters Jewish is not considered Jewish under Jewish law. How insane is that?
Well, the whole thing is insane, but the funny part would be like, so again, if the Bible establishes an order based on the fathers, well, I can show you clearly it has nothing to do with the moms, mm-hmm. really, because the story goes in like the first sons of Jacob, who becomes Israel, or like Joseph, the story of Joseph. Yeah. Joseph goes to Egypt. He becomes like second in command, like the second in charge of all of Egypt. Mm-hmm. Well, he's given a wife who's Egyptian. So right away, like the whole kind of who the mom is really not that important.
Yeah.
David, King David, mm-hmm. his great grandmother was named Ruth, and Ruth was what the Bible describes as a Moabite woman. Well, it's a different line. So like Moab came from Abraham's nephew's line.
So the Bible shows that it's more important the man's line.
Well, I guess at the end of the day, there needed to be a genetic bloodline to get to Christ.
Yeah.
Because I made a promise with you. So I have mm-hmm. to fulfill this promise like genetically. But the truth is, it was all based on like I just promised you. And if you believe my promise, then this is what makes you one of God's people.
Yeah.
So that's why I like that when we have this debate about who are the chosen people. Well, the Bible says that the heirs of Christ, that Christians had their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the earth was laid. Okay, so to me, that seems like a chosen person, because if your name was already in the book before you were born, then God chose you, and the people who reject Jesus cannot be chosen, because obviously the Bible says there's only one way to go to heaven.
If you reject them, then how are you chosen? That doesn't really make any sense.
Right, so like the person who was supposedly chosen is going to hell. The person who, quote-unquote, was not chosen is going to be in heaven with God forever.
No, it doesn't make any sense. This manipulation that's worked so well.
It's all inversion, but I'd say I just think it's striking to see that you can actually, like, Jesus is basically the only person who can actually has the receipts left to be able to tie himself back to King David, who the promise was to. So now we have like these was Chabad Lubich, and they want this idea of this third temple. And they're looking for the Mashiach. They're looking for the new Messiah to come through this. Mm-hmm. Now, the interesting part about that is they could never prove that they're related to David.
Yeah.
Right? But Christ can, because that's why it's like the people think the genealogies in the Bible are boring, but it's important because it's establishing this thing.
Yeah, I pay attention to the genealogy. But...
And so what's fascinating is that in 70 AD, God judged Jerusalem and destroyed the temple and destroyed Jerusalem altogether, burned it to ground. Now,
it was too rotten, so he burned it down.
Well, Jesus told the parable of the wicked tenants when he's talking about the kingdom is going to be taken from you, and it's going to be given to people more fruitful. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's the idea of like that this was promised to you, but you guys rejected it, and now I'm giving it to everyone.
Yeah, I mean, he literally attacked the temple with a whip, so obviously he didn't find them very.
He's the thing is like if you go away from out of town, and you come back. The first thing you do is take care of your own house. You get your own house in order.
Yes.
So that's what Christ is basically saying he's going to do.
Then you help the neighbors. Then you.
So you want to clean house first at your own house. So what ends up happening is that
you help yourself first, and then
that during the captivity with Babylon, you know, you had all these people dispersed around the world. Mm-hmm. There's this decree by King Cyrus to come back and them come back into the land of Judea, and so in the book of Nehemiah, eventually these people come back and they're trying to prove their lineage that they actually are part of the 12 tribes. But the really important part is the fact that they're trying to establish like a Levite, like this is the priest class. This is like who, like the first high priest would have been Aaron, the brother of Moses. And so these are the people who have the duties at the church or the temple, sorry. Yeah. And so when they rebuild the temple, so these are obviously going to be the priests there.
Yeah.
Well, so then eventually they rebuild this temple. And not everyone can prove that they're actually even back then.
Like, kind of like today.
Well, even back
so
then.
It sounds like a lot of similarities.
Well, even back then, they couldn't all prove it. But obviously, some of them could. And then obviously, the other important thing is to have that lineage back to David. Mm-hmm. Because you have this promise. And this is part of what makes them believers in God. Well, in 70 AD, all the records, all the genealogies were kept in the temple. So when God not only wiped out this old system, he wiped out all memory of who was related. And so I think that's why they have this inversion where now they're trying to say it's based on the mother's side. It's literally like a slap to God. Mm-hmm. And I think in God's providence, he wiped out this old the system that could not be practiced anymore. And then he wiped out their genealogies too.
Yeah, I didn't
know
that.
So now like the last person can tie themselves to a king of Israel was Christ, and Christ is king.
Yes, it has to be. But that's a little off. But if you go to Israel now, isn't it illegal to even get a DNA test?
Right. Well, I mean, the thing about it is, it's kind of funny. I think that, like, the 23andMe stuff, I think mostly it's a scam.
I think most of it's done, like, hey, Jews. I would never send my stuff there. No. It's like, no, I don't trust it all. It's like, really, at this point, we have no way of knowing for sure who's traced back there. But I would say it's probably not the Ashkenazi Jews.
Well, that's the funny thing is you've mentioned like the Ashkenazi Jews. So
yeah, because there's several types of Jews where it gets complicated.
Well, right. Well, I want to say I forget the name. I think it's Hispanic Jews and Ashkenazi Jews take a make a big portion of the population in Israel today. Yeah. Well, the ones from Spain, they're conversions. Yeah. They're Spanish conversions to Judaism, right? And so
they have no claim.
So likely the people in Ashkenaz's line. The Ashkenazi persuasion,
like
they came from a place called Khazar, the Khazarian Empire, And so there's this kingdom that at one point was made up of Christians, Jews, and Muslims, but then royalty had them convert to Judaism to practice usury. Mm-hmm. And so eventually, I want to say it was the, they called them the Rus. They were likely a people that came from somewhere maybe around Norway, and they came in and conquered the Khazarians, and this is like modern Russians. So then these people from this one kingdom go to basically where like Germany is, German area. And that's what we call Ashkenaz.
Yeah, because that's what they're all the ones that run, you know, Israel, like all the prime ministers, they're from like Poland.
They all change their names to more Jewish sounding names.
More like it. So it's like, this isn't crazy. Like, that's literally where they're from. You look at their skin complexion, they're not Middle Eastern.
Right. I think they say there's a great, there's a high percentage of people who have allergies to olive plants.
Oh, yeah.
Which it seems like
seems a little weird.
If that's actually where you're from,
God gave you land that you're not from. Kind of a strange thing. And like they're trying to. I think it was yesterday Netanyahu was talking about bringing back their Messiah, which their Messiah is not our Messiah.
Well, that's the thing. It's so again, this whole thing, this whole concept, is a denial of the Messiah did come. And I said, you know what? I think it's like as a Christian, it's I would like to make this case to somebody who's a skeptic, who actually is a believer in, I guess, what they call, you know, the Torah, or like whatever they believe is their version of keeping the law. If Jesus was not who he said he was, and they rightfully rejected him in the first century, then why did God burn down their city and burn down their temple?
Fair point. Being a Christian, why do so many Christians look up to, like, okay, they say they're God's chosen, but I'm a little confused. If they killed Jesus, they think he's burning in hell. I just don't, they're trying to bring back like the Antichrist, but yet all these Christian Zionists are trying to help him do it. It's just completely confusing to me.
We've been talking about that a little bit on the podcast about just that this is like the biggest psyop ever.
Have
church history establishes this idea that eventually the spiritual descendants of Israel are actually Israel. Like the church has become the Israel of God. Because it was about that Abraham was not Jewish. People think that's crazy, but no, he was actually what they consider like a Hebrew. But Hebrew was just a relation to Eber, and what the Hebrews were kind of like nomadic people. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what Abraham was. He was like, he moved from a place he knew to a place that God promised him. Now, but it had nothing to do with like who Abraham was related. Because if you think about it, like if you believe the biblical story, it's like, you have this line that's coming through, and there's no guarantee where it's coming from. People believe that Abraham was the son of an idol maker from Babylon. Right? So like it's not about that. It's more about that Abraham believed God, and that was the reason he was given these promises. So that's why the spiritual descendants would also believe in this original promise to him. And so the people who deny that promise.
What you're saying is God promised it.
Right.
Were you a Christian Zionist at one point?
I guess I was, because I didn't really realize what it was about.
By default, it's kind of like.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess the thing is like that, you know, when you grow up in, you know, like early 20s, like 9/11 happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was taught very clearly the Muslims did it, right? It was radical Muslims. They hate me because I'm a Christian. Yep. They hate America because it's free. And that's basically it.
They did a great job of like teaching us that. I remember I was a hardcore Zionist, but I kind of was. But then I visited some of the Middle Eastern countries that treated great. Then I visited Israel. And I could just kind of tell they were lying about things. And that's when I started looking into like how they were treating the Palestinians.
Right. So, you know, but once I spend my adult life watching these forever wars, and I'm like, oh, wow. And then, of course, when you start to go down the rabbit hole, you're like, gosh, these things are all lies. Most of these things are lies. And the thing is, what Muslims actually believe is what they call Jews and Christians. Mm-hmm. They call them people of the book. So what the Quran actually does is validate what the Bible says, which is kind of contradicts itself by doing that.
But it is very similar. The religion, they love and adore Jesus. It's not quite the same.
No, it's not quite the same.
Jesus is God, but it's like
no. But I mean, but the interesting part about it is
at least like love and respect Jesus.
Is that if they are true practitioners of the Quran, then they would not hate me because I'm Christian, because their book tells them not to. So what it actually does say is that when people think about like why they can be violent toward people, if you have a Muslim who's an apostate, whether he converts to Judaism or Christianity or anything, mm-hmm. well, then it does give them license to to kill, to stone the infidel. Now, but again, that has something to do with their own apostate. It's not, if well, I'm born in a Christian country.
That's like that sect of like being pushed through Saudi Arabia where they teach, like most of the extremists all come through the Wahhabism, which mm-hmm. is funded by Saudi Arabia, who's our good ally. We never talk about 9/11. That was all Saudis and Israelis. Well, yeah, I think there really was a little Saudi connection, but along with Israelis.
Yeah, it was. Whatever, wherever they were from, they were connected with our own three-letter agencies.
Like so, my take looking at it is Mossad was kind of ahead of it, but Saudi Arabia and the CIA helped.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, when it comes down to it, you do start to see that what they told us to hate the other people there and to justify by saying they're just crazy and they just hate us for being us.
They hate us for our freedom.
That's not true. Now, honestly, it is funny if you go to like Israel and you wear like a cross, like if I was wearing my cross necklace over here, there's a good chance I'd get spit on in Jerusalem, right? And so
that's crazy.
And that absolutely.
We're paying them all our money. And you see, there was this guy, what's his something, Tatum? He was
Officer Tatum.
He's like, he's one of those paid propagandists. And you go, yeah, man, I only got spit on by one kid when I was there. I wasn't treated that bad. Like, I've never had a kid spit on me. If a kid spit on me, I'll smack the shit out of a little punk. They come by and there's these videos that, they're coming by spitting on people. They look like demon possessed, just like circling them. It's like.
Yeah, where I come from, getting spit on one time is a lot.
Oh, yeah. I've never had a kid spit on me.
One time is
too many. I smack the shit out of that kid.
One time is too many. So that's the contrast, though. And we would think that, hey, wait a minute. We really love them. We pray for them. We send money to them. Like, why would they hate me? Like, I don't get that. Like, there's obviously, again, this is inversion, but again, when I think what woke most people up was the most recent war in Gaza. I think at this point I was already understanding it, but
same.
But like when they first said
to another level.
Yeah. When they first talked about October 7th, and this is obviously by the time I'm like fully awake to everything.
Yeah.
Well, not everything. I guess I can't say I'm not awake to things.
Yeah, I'm still awake. I'm still minded. I know there's still so much to learn. Once you start waking up, you start realizing shit, everything is a lie.
Yeah, but when that happened and they were literally selling this thing as Israel's 9/11. And of course, for me, that was very triggering because I was like, you're saying that it's a false flag so you can justify war. Exactly. Like, that's exactly what you're saying. And even Charlie Kirk was on Patrick Bet David saying basically the exact same thing.
He was like, let him through.
He was saying, but he wasn't really saying. He was saying, like, how do you have a state the size of New Jersey, Israel, where you could ride up and back in 45 minutes?
They gave him like hours.
Like 6 or 7 hours.
I've been there. It's a small country. There's military everywhere. Military bases.
Everybody's IDF. Like
a lot of the people were killed.
Everybody's IDF.
They came in and killed their own with Apache helicopters.
Yeah.
They'll sacrifice Jewish people too.
It's like,
all Jewish people, it's like the ones at top, though, they are like trying to bring in this Antichrist. Like, I realize they deeply believe in this religion. Doesn't matter if I believe in it, they believe in it, and they're trying to accomplish
it. Well, it's kind of like saying, like, the way I think people kind of get some of this stuff, it's confusing because it'd be like saying America's a Christian country. So, therefore, any act that America does is done by Christians. In the same way, we would say like that just because somebody's in Israel and they're considered Jewish, we just already talked about how lots of people who are consider themselves Jewish are actually secular humanists or atheists. They don't believe in anything like that. In the same way that just because something happened in Saudi Arabia, we're going to blame Muslims for it when they're obviously not living like Muslims. You know, like I guess that's the thing. It's like that's part of probably the reason they want us to fight.
Because we hang out, you realize you're all so similar, you know? You can hang out with Jews, Christians, Muslims, and get along great.
Right. Well, the truth is, I think, again, it's about, like we were talking about with, you know, white people versus black people. They want us to fight.
Yeah.
So the point is that what well-meaning people should say, it'd be like, if some person who claims to be a Christian does something that's not Christian, I don't have to support them because that what they did was evil, that was a sin. And we would be all a lot better if we just called them took each individual case. But all that being said, when you see what they did to Gaza,
it's just evil. It's pure evil.
You can't see what that place used to look like and looks like now and not get mad.
No,
if you have a heart and soul,
going through videos, seeing what they do to children and laughing at it, that's just an evil. Like, I knew that Israel had too much control of America. I knew some of this stuff, but the extent of it, and then seeing Gaza and seeing our politicians double down supporting them. And then the Iran war that they just launched, like we said, they didn't sell it. They just pushed the Iran war out of nowhere. And I don't think it benefits America. And I see nothing positive this can come of this war.
No, I can't.
For anyone, except maybe Israel. But even them, they're kind of getting a little, you know.
No, it's it's absolutely crazy. I would say that the reason why Trump got elected, mm-hmm. you know, is because he was saying he didn't want this.
Exactly.
You know, if he would have ran on this, do you think that he went? No, because he was running as like a peace president. He was. Mm-hmm. I saw this clip was going around. It was might have been 2015, 2016. He's mocking Lindsey Graham,
rightfully
so, totally mocking him, saying how he's the dumbest guy, he's crazy, he's going to get us in. He wants to get us into World War III. He shouldn't be able to win as dog catcher in South Carolina, mm-hmm. and now. They're buddies. It's like they crazy. Are. They
he
are
looks
buddies.
Like he gets all excited about blowing up kids. He's like, yeah, it's like this evil. Like, I wouldn't be surprised they have tapes of him with like little children.
I can't imagine it's not something probably worse than we would ever be able to imagine because the way he
seems truly evil.
Yeah, you know, you can see all the clips. I want to say, was it 2 years ago that there was that hurricane? I think that devastated parts of North Carolina and South Carolina.
Yeah,
there was 49 people in South Carolina who were killed by this hurricane. And so he was on Sean Hannity.
And that's where he represents.
And he was saying, yeah, you know, I went all around the state and visited and I could barely sleep. But I want to talk about Israel. And he said, let's talk about how they don't have enough weapons for their defense and all this. And you're like, it's almost like, I don't even understand how, even if it is money, it has to be major blackmail to be able to. Money.
I think maybe they give him little kids to kill or something.
There's something.
Like he's dark and evil. I think he goes something truly evil with that man.
When he starts talking about world wars and he's talking
lit up and excited about people of Israel. I wish we could be like that. Like
even like Ted Cruz actually just came out. It's funny. I just saw a clip of him talking about how that Christ is King is used by Groypers, and it's of course racist. It's racism. It's anti-Semitic to say that. And he even tries to say that, what did he say? That back when I was kind of coming up, we used to say Jesus saves. And what did he say? Jesus loves you. And he was like, I don't know where the Christ is King stuff has come from. And you're like, because you're mocking Christ's lordship. What do you mean he's not King? It's like, he is King. And so you're supposed to believe that. And he was even going on to say that, and this idea that the Jews killed Jesus, it's like, that's in the Bible.
Dude,
bro.
It's also in the Talmud. In the Talmud, they admit it and they say they carried out the execution.
Well, it was prophesied. And of course, it happened in the way that the Jews handed him over to the Romans to be crucified. But I mean, the funny thing, it'd be like if I hired a hitman to kill somebody for me, and it'd be like, well, I didn't kill him. I didn't pull the trigger, so therefore I'm innocent. But like, that's not how the Bible sees it, because that Stephen, the martyr who got right before he got stoned, he told him, he's like, you stiff-necked people, you guys always resist the Holy Spirit. Which not of God's prophets who prophesied about the righteous one to come did you guys not kill and and persecute? And then he says, and the righteous one, when he came, you betrayed and murdered him. This is what he says right before they pick up stones to kill him with it. Peter says the same thing. The Apostle Paul says the same thing. It's like, of course, that's just what the Bible says. And that's the crazy thing when they start to get into the idea of like that they consider that blood libel. Yeah, and then this can be
pass these laws, anti-Semitic. Yeah. I don't know if you saw, like 2 days ago, there was a girl in Australia getting arrested. I think she's like 18. She had a shirt that said "From the River to the Sea." They arrest her and she could face up to 2 years in prison for having a shirt that says "From the River to the Sea."
I mean,
it's how these people come in and take this power, taking away our free speech. There's another guy just got a year in prison in Australia for saying like they're the enemy of Australia. And it's like kind of proving his point. when, you know, they got caught faking anti-Semitic. They were attacking the synagogues, and it turned out organized crime was paid to do it by a foreign agent. They never said who that foreign agent was, but I'm sure we can assume it was Israel.
Well, I mean, at this point, it does feel like that people are waking up to it, because even now there was a news article saying that potentially Iran was going to use drones to attack California.
Obviously, that's going to be a
and then something attack. Recently just happened where
they stole some
military drones were stole from like some kind of military
that's
base.
Crazy. No, that I get, that's what I heard. They stole 4 drones, and it's hard getting in these military bases and getting stuff out. It had to be obviously an inside job with several people, because you have to get through the checkpoints. Drones are pretty, I think they'd be pretty big war drones, right?
Well, I want to say that, we have a lot of military bases around where I'm from, and I've seen some of like the military drones, and yeah, they're not small. They're not like these ones.
Like in a big truck, I would assume. I don't know.
It does not seem likely that you could just go steal one without being caught doing it easily. So yes, inside job. But I think most people at this point now do see this where like, lots of people, especially like obviously who listen to us.
I think it's crossed the point of being able to put it back in though.
We're thinking this is going to be, there is a potential for a false flag because, I mean, I hate to say it, but that if they're getting desperate, this war is not being supported.
Not popular.
Well, then they might have to try to galvanize people. You think of like a Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, they're going to have to because it's losing support. Americans are dying. It looks like we potentially might be losing this war, which is humiliating.
Well, it's like I guess the thing is it's like America is not going to lose a war that has a clear objective that we could discuss beforehand that we could accomplish.
Yeah.
But this is what happens with
no objective. It's like,
well, right. So the thing is like that the objective is clear as mud the way Trump lays it out. Cause at first it was just like, we're supposed to get rid of their ability to make a nuke. And then eventually it was, well, we got to get rid of all their ballistic missiles. And now it's like, we got to get rid of their Navy. We have to get rid of their grand. Yeah,
they acted like they were going to come in and overthrow this guy, and that didn't happen. So now they're like, what do we do?
Yeah.
They said they're running out of missles, but they keep shooting missiles. So I don't know.
Another thing Lindsey Graham said was, did he say that he was excited that we're running out of bombs and we never even ran out of bombs during World War II?
That's concerning. That means like, what if China or Russia decides like, hey, let's punk America right now. We don't have any missiles.
Well, it seems like just based on what they're saying now, and it was supposedly Trump got in all these military contractors, and he was saying that they need to produce, he was like read them the riot act, like they need to produce a lot more. I mean, it does make you see that this is not well thought out. Like, you're probably right, is that they thought they would take out Khomeini and then this thing would fall real quick and they'd be in and out. It's like, it does seem like Trump's MO to shoot a couple bombs off and then say, declare victory. And then go home. But I think that he obviously got bad advice. He got very bad advice. Like, sounds like he got advice from like Jared Kushner.
He said that. And he's like, Jared told me. He literally said that.
That's embarrassing.
The CIA told him like, hey, I don't think this is going to work out that way. But he listened to Jared, who's part of Chavad Lubavitch.
Yeah.
Chavad Lubavitch, the head rabbi who's dead now, but this is their teachings. They don't think we have like, they think their souls are divine.
Yeah.
They think our souls are filthy from satanic spheres, unholy animal souls. So why is every president going and meeting this guy who hates us?
I mean, because again, it's like, I saw a clip from Theo Von and it was funny. He was talking about the idea of like when we give money to Israel, it's like, it's kind of like, it's already theirs. It's kind of like they are the boss.
Yeah,
it's just like, it's not even a question we're going to give them money because the money is already theirs.
Yeah, it's their money. I think he's one that said it feels like we're a shell company
for
Israel. And it kind of does.
Yeah, we're like the giant money laundering place where they just get their money.
But people are seeing it and it can't go on. Like I said, it's hard when people like Lindsey Graham, Trump, Cruz, they work way harder for Israel than America, but I just don't.
And they openly say it.
People are just getting pissed off. And
yeah.
It's not going to be an easy fight, but we're going to take our country back. I got to wrap in the next couple of minutes. I have a super slam day today. Anything you want to hit before we wrap? And obviously want to tell people where to find you and stuff too.
No, I'll just say this is the only thing I really wanted to finish was just to talk about again, to go double back to that idea of the PSYOP, because this is where it gets obviously more real to me. Just as a Christian, just to who cares what's true, is the idea that these people that are supposedly Christians, like a pastor like Mike Huckabee, and then people like Ted Cruz, who are trying to make this about theological issues, well, they're twisting scriptures. And again, this goes back to this idea of like the Schofield, John Darby dispensationalism, where they take what the New Testament and what Christ taught was going to be the family of God, and trying to put it backwards, and they're trying to establish this secular state as God's chosen people over, again, if you're in Christ, God chose you.
Yeah.
And that's like, that's offensive to me. But then the way that they're trying to use like the book of Revelation as like a mockery, where they have military commanders addressing their troops, talking about how Trump's anointed by Jesus, and he's supposed to use this war to bring in Armageddon that leads to the return of Christ.
That's so crazy they're teaching that. I've heard the same thing in reports, and I'm sure it's true.
Well, the interesting part is they said that it was 13 or 14 people complained. 11 of them were Christians complained. So, I mean, that praise God that they, some people know what's up, is that, you know, that's why I said it's such the psyop that when bombs fall in the Middle East now, we have people from a pulpit in America saying, this is actually a good thing because this is going to lead to Jesus returning. I was like, to me, that is really offensive. Like, that's offensive. And I think that what the church has clearly taught is like, no, we don't have to support that, and we shouldn't support that. Mm-hmm. And I think that the more people, when they read their own Bibles and don't listen to like false teachers, like
read
Mike Huckabee.
Read the Bible yourself. You read it yourself. And we need to figure out something where there's people can find an anti-Zionist church. Because I think a lot of people are super anti-Zionist now. They don't want to go to a Zionist church. Mm-hmm. There needs to be like a church finder where you can find a local. I was talking to Joel. What's his last name? He's a Christian, super anti-Zionist.
Joel Webbin.
Joel Webbin. And that's what I was telling him. Like, you need to put something together where people can find churches that are anti-Zionist.
Well, we just, I guess the thing is, it's not necessarily just being anti-Zionist. It's just like, just pro-truth. It's like,
obviously that's part of, you can't be teaching these are people are better than me who hate and kill Jesus. Like, imagine if they're teaching Muslims are better than you or Hindus are better than you.
Yeah.
It's just backwards that they worship Jews who killed, and I have no hatred towards Jews, but I don't want to worship them. And basically it's not just the preachers, it's the politicians want to worship them.
Yeah.
The whole country, they have all these special laws, like they're trying to make in America. They are putting people literally from the river to the sea, a girl's in jail. But if you said Israel should be free from or Israel could take over that land, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if you say you just want Gaza to be free, jail.
Yeah, of course they are saying now that we're quote unquote liberating the Iranian people as we
bomb
their schools, bomb hospitals, bomb apartment buildings. Yeah, it's just evil. I mean, so yeah, like I think that I just want people just to be able to just see real clearly and just be able to call out evil. Again, whether a Christian, a quote unquote, a Christian does something evil or it doesn't really matter to me. It's like call out a sin for what it is, and do not support people who protect pedophiles and bomb schools.
No, the crazy thing is I call out Christians, Muslims, they're evil. But then when you call out the Jews, they call you an anti-Semite, try to ruin your life, get you canceled. It's like, oh, this is interesting.
No, I mean, I think that the only positive part about that now is like that word has lost.
No, it's
all,
lost.
It's lost basically all the meaning. It's like they've used it too many times. And at this point, it's kind of like,
it's just probably things are probably going to go too far the other way. Is a sad truth, but you know, I don't know. Like I'm very moderate now. A few years ago, I was considered extreme anti-Semitic, but I'm one of the more moderate voices now. People are way past me. I don't want any harm to these people. I'm just pointing out.
Yeah, that is concerning because I think that's the main thing that I think as a Christian, I like to give people the benefit of the doubt, especially if like I'm talking to them one-on-one.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to have all these super preconceived notions about people. And so now try to attribute the acts of few to everyone.
Yeah.
It's like, well, that in itself is an evil thing. And so we don't need as Christians to do that. Now, it also doesn't mean that we need to be completely naive to things where, you know, like the Bible tells us to be as wise as serpents and innocent as doves. So it doesn't mean to naturally just be naive to like let people take advantage of
God's chosen people, holding them accountable, but we don't want to say they're all bad. But you do start seeing this particular group has been manipulating our politicians, preachers.
I think that's the dangerous part about like the idea of that these people are not dumb, so they might use the more extreme factions to again perpetuate actual real evil, which they can justify again by taking away rights of like people like you and me. Yeah, like we can't talk about this because
your
words become violence.
Someone ran a truck into synagogues. They probably tried to use that to take your rights away.
Yeah, for sure.
It turned out the guy's family was killed a couple of days before in Lebanon. Now that no way justifies it, but it adds a little perspective. You know,
The
guy went crazy. Doesn't justify a terrorist attack, but they just killed his family a couple of days before. It's like,
yeah, well, there's reasons. Like some people have reasons for being upset.
Yeah, he wasn't upset for no reason. Doesn't justify it, but he had a good reason to be angry.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, we had a wrap. Where can people find you? If you're
For sure. So if you want to hear more, and of course, we talked about a lot of stuff on this podcast. Yeah, we talk about more over on my YouTube channel, JT Follows JC. If you guys like to listen to him on audio, you can check me out on Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. And if you like short, quick videos, you can check out my socials, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. Yeah. And X. And follow me on X because I'm trying to build that.
I don't think I'm following you. Yeah. It's like you got to go everywhere. It's so much work.
Yeah. Right.
The podcast is the easy part. Then you're like, oh, we got to get clips for here and that place.
Talking is the fun part. All the other stuff is the difficult part.
Yeah. The pain in the ass of keeping it all running. It's better than working a real job.
Yes.
So, all right. So we got to run. Hey guys, I'm demonetized everywhere. So if you want to support me and the podcast, go to fightbackpodcast.com and you can buy some cool merch like the shirt I'm wearing now.